Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Art Bell, who's lucky he's not glowing in the dark. I don't think I am yet, anyway. The whole story of the outage, the bizarre circumstances surrounding the outage last night, if that's what you want to call it, I call it an electromagnetic attack. And I don't raise the level of verbiage frequently that high. Electromagnetic attack on this valley last night. That's what happened. We've got the proof on my website right now. Go sift through it for yourself. Terrestrial microwave, satellite microwave frequencies separated by many gigahertz, all deader than a doornail as something descended on this valley. That story on the website. The story of the ice circles is on the website right now, along with the photographs, so you can actually see them for yourselves. One remote viewer in Hawaii last hour thought it was human stuff. Might be, don't know. That's pretty thin ice, though. More ways than one. Coming up in a moment, Mysteries of the Sacred Universe is the book. That sounds pretty good, huh? Mysteries of the Sacred Universe. Dr. Thompson is going to be my guest. I think Dr. Richard L. Thompson, in fact, is a mathematician who received his PhD in probability theory and statistical mechanics from Cornell University in 1974. He has written over 25 academic papers, scripts for several video productions, and several books on science and philosophy, including Vedic Cosmography and Astronomy, Alien Identities, Mechanistic and Non-Mechanistic Science with Michael Cremo, Forbidden Archaeology, he was co-author, and The Hidden History of the Human Race. He also has a number of published works in the field of mathematical biology. But in a moment, for the most part, we're going to talk about Mysteries of the Sacred Universe coming up next. All right, Dr. Thompson, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
It's great to have you. It's hard to even know where to begin. A lot of your work is very technical. You're a mathematician. And a lot of the research is very technical. I guess I would begin by asking you your title, Mysteries of the Sacred Universe. What exactly are the mysteries?
Well, what happened is that I was involved in studying an ancient text which describes the universe. And at the first glance, this looks like a mythological description. It talks about the universe in terms of geography. It appears to describe what you could call the flat Earth. But what I found on looking more closely at this this ancient document is that it's actually giving a very sophisticated description of the solar system and of a number of other features of which are only known in modern astronomy. So this is somewhat mysterious. I also found that the basic geographical description of cosmology, which is given in the text, is found all over the world. And this is also a bit mysterious in that it indicates that certain ideas were apparently spread all over the world long before Columbus and modern exploration.
How much earlier?
Well, the traditional date for the text, of course, is something a bit controversial. The text traditionally is dated to be about 3000 BC, and I can tell you a story about that date also.
3000
BC. But in terms of modern accepted scholarship, the text dates back from anything to 1,000 years ago to 2,000 years ago.
All of this is leading up to evidence, you feel, for a scientifically advanced civilization in the distant past. How distant?
Well, the what basically I ran into in studying this text is what you could call a serendipitous discovery. I was looking at the description of this flat Earth, which is in the text.
Mm-hmm.
And I found evidence that it contains a map of the solar system.
In other words, we all know that long ago people thought the Earth was, in fact, flat. And you thought that's what you were looking at was a description of a flat Earth.
Right. That's what it certainly seems to be. I mean, literally says that. We're dealing with the Earth as a disk.
Okay.
And it's flat, which
All
is
right.
what people supposedly believed
right.
long ago, before they had the scientific knowledge that the Earth is a globe.
Only you have determined it was not that at all, but rather a description of the universe?
Yes, of the solar system. In fact, you see, one interesting thing about the solar system, the planets orbit all in just about the same plane. I'll use the word ecliptic a lot, probably. If you take the Earth as a fixed center point for reference purposes, the Sun seems to go around the Earth in a big orbit.
Right.
And the plane of that orbit is called the ecliptic. And all of the planets orbit in nearly the same plane. They orbit in planes that are tilted by maybe, let's say, 5 degrees at most from the ecliptic plane. So if you look at all the planetary orbits, basically that is flat. And it turns out that the flat Earth actually was that plane of the solar system. So to get back to your original question, what does this have to do with an ancient, a more scientifically advanced civilization?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the dimensions of the orbits, as indicated from the text, and I'll tell you how you arrive at this, but the basic conclusion is that these dimensions are quite accurate from the point of view of modern astronomy.
And how could they possibly have known?
Right. How could they have known that? Either it's all a coincidence, just the numbers happen to come out that way.
What are the odds? You're a mathematician.
Well, the odds are very small. We can talk more about the whole topic of coincidence in these kinds of studies, too. But just briefly, the odds, I calculated about 1 in 20,000.
About 1 in 20,000 that they would match.
That things would match as closely as they did.
All right. You were the co-author of Forbidden Archaeology. Forbidden Archaeology seemed to suggest that early man was using more scientific tools or tools earlier than he should have been, that there was knowledge back then that should not have been, and there are artifacts that have been recovered from the Earth that would certainly suggest there were things going on back there that should not have been in the time of early man. Is that roughly correct?
Well, yes. Forbidden archaeology gives evidence that at least tool-making human beings, or hominids as they call them, were in existence long before the accepted time frame.
How much longer, roughly?
Well, that gives evidence going back for millions of years.
Millions of years?
Yeah.
All right. In your new book, you're looking at the possibility of a scientifically advanced civilization that would go back how far?
Well, we're talking about thousands of years. We don't have an exact figure for the date, but the basic argument goes like this. Let us suppose, for the sake of argument, that people really did have a more accurate knowledge of the solar system at some time in the past. Well, you can ask when. If you go back, say, to the Middle Ages, it's known that astronomical knowledge at that time was pretty crude. And, in fact, they didn't have a very good knowledge of the solar system. So it couldn't have been then. Then you have to go back further. You can take it back to the time... Well, the best astronomer of antiquity that is known is Ptolemy, who lived around 200 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
So in those days, they couldn't have had the more advanced knowledge because his knowledge wasn't so advanced. And then supposedly things get more primitive as you go back to the early Greeks and so on.
Right.
We can trace things back, let's say, to the Babylonian astronomy. You go back to around 700 B.C. or so with that, and that was pretty crude.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go back to an earlier time in order to find a period in which the more advanced knowledge could have been known.
How much earlier? I mean, here we're already talking about long before Christ.
Yeah. Well, the indications that I found would put it back around 3,000 B.C., or let's say 2,500 B.C.
2,500 years before Christ came to Earth.
Right.
Doctor, but that, to go along with that, to go along with this advanced scientific knowledge, there would have to be, or you would imagine there would be, an advanced civilization of some sort that would benefit from all of this advanced knowledge that was there then. Wouldn't that make sense?
Well, yes, it would seem that knowledge can't exist in a vacuum. People had to have institutions both for doing the research, making measurements, and, you know, supporting the scientists. And then they would have to have institutions for teaching that knowledge and passing
precisely.
It down and so forth.
Precisely. So does this mean, Doctor, that it's likely that advanced civilization has come and gone and possibly come and gone in long cycles of some sort that we don't know about?
Well, the indication, as far as I can see, is that if there was a more advanced civilization, what we have now are merely fragmentary indications of it. So
right.
We really have to do a lot of research in order to pin down the evidence that it even existed. So what I've proposed in the book is that, in fact, civilization has been interrupted by dark ages. In other words,
yes.
Instead of a gradual ascent from primitive times up to more advanced developments culminating in modern civilization, which we then expect to continue going up and up and up,
mm-hmm.
Civilization has had its ups and downs over many thousands of years.
Kind of like the stock market.
Well, yeah.
Everything has its cycles, and you're saying that includes civilization. Do you have any idea what these down periods might have been? I mean, it would have to be something that would literally come along and almost knock it down to zero.
Well, there's evidence that that has happened. For example, I've proposed that around 2500 BC would be a time when this civilization we're talking about did exist. That would correspond pretty much to the Old Kingdom in Egypt.
Egypt, okay.
Yeah, and in India, there's what was called the Indus Valley Civilization, which flourished around, let's say, 2300 BC, in that vicinity. So what happened is, we know historically, the Indus Valley Civilization apparently died out. And it died out to such an extent that city life basically stopped in the area of India and Pakistan where that civilization flourished.
Huh.
So, and that civilization is famous for having very well laid out cities. Instead of just sort of higgly-piggly streets going every which way like you find in old medieval towns, they had cities that were laid out geometrically in a very precise way. But city life itself seems to have stopped for a period of centuries. And then maybe around 800, 700 BC or so, it began to start up again and continued up to the present time in the India-Pakistan area.
Well, but if ancient people had knowledge of the construct of the solar system, that would really indicate a rather high level of scientific knowledge.
Yes, the remarkable implication is that at least if they knew in the same way that we know today, they had to have the technology of telescopes and various scientific ideas based on how to use them and how to measure distances in the solar system.
All of this would give, I would think, religious scholars and fundamentalists a bit of a difficult time because, of course, they have their own way of looking at all this, you know, Adam and Eve and Garden of Eden and the ejection and on from there and the whole story told in the Bible. I mean, this predates that so far that it would be a problem, wouldn't it, for religious institutions to grasp what you're saying?
Well, in one sense, I suppose some religious institutions would find it to be more or less in agreement with their views.
Oh?
I mean, even if you look at Christian fundamentalism, which, just since you mentioned that, they have the idea that before the flood there was a more advanced civilization that got wiped out. So, and I'll just mention offhand, it's sort of a coincidence, but the story of the flood comes up in talking about this date of 3000 B.C., which is something we can also come to. But the real objection to this kind of idea concerning ancient civilization really comes from modern scholarship. The basic standpoint of modern scholarship is that if you go back, let's say, to the known classical period, the time of the Greeks and the Romans and
yes,
the Babylonians and so forth, people were pretty scientifically undeveloped in those days. And then, if you go back further, they must have been even more scientifically undeveloped. So there's a tendency to argue that if there is evidence that they were more advanced, there must be something wrong with that evidence.
So it argues, it's like forbidden archaeology then. It's the scientists who would be most upset if they had to come to terms with what you believe to be true.
Yes, basically. And there are political factors involved in this, too. You know, in forbidden archaeology, we introduce the concept of the knowledge filter, which is that knowledge that disagrees with the predominant paradigm tends to get filtered out.
Right.
So we're dealing with something similar in this case. And from a political standpoint, one of the motives behind the filtering process in this case is the tension between the cultures of the East, India and so forth, and of the West. So there's a tendency, for example, from people on the side of people in India to say, well, our civilization is very glorious and it goes back a very long time. Whereas there's a tendency to say, well, this is actually just due to their national pride, and it doesn't really go back so far. In fact, it doesn't go back as far as our civilization.
Well, if we go back to the religious discussion for a moment, I think that it is widely believed that the flood was a result of angels down here messing around with earth women and God getting upset and saying, okay, flood, that's it, everybody out of the pool, whatever. That's kind of what's believed, right?
Basically.
And so that is not, I would think, necessarily what you believe occurred, or is it?
Oh, no. As for the cause of this Dark Age period that
yes,
I mentioned,
yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm not really saying anything about what that cause was. As far as I'm aware, perhaps the most likely argument for it is climactic. Of course, a flood is a sudden climactic event.
And one could guess that the hand of God could cause a big flood or a climate change, depending on how you look at it, right?
Yeah. Climate change might be something as boring as a drought that lasted for a long time. There is evidence for that. By the way, this cessation of city life in the Indus Valley area is paralleled, apparently, by a similar interruption that you find in Babylon, ancient Greece, and so forth.
All right. Doctor, hold it right there for a moment. So, it might have been a climate change. Now, let me see. I've been hearing something recently about a climate change. If that's what sort of stalls civilizations and puts them in a big black period where everything falls like the market did the other day, climate change. I know I've heard something about climate change recently. Could we be coming up on one of those periods?